I was not prepared. All right. It says recording on my end. So let me kick it off. All right. And welcome to another episode of Downtime with the Cranston Public Library. We're a podcast for cool people who love libraries, where we talk about what we've been reading, what we've been watching, and what we've been loving. I'm your host, Taylor, and the branch librarian at the Oaklawn Branch Library, and my pronouns are she, her.
Hi, I'm Jay. I am a junior at the University of Rhode Island. I am currently studying gender and women's studies and political science as a double major, and I'm president of the Sexuality and Gender Alliance on campus. I am also a rugby player.
And I am Miranda. I am the president of the Pride Alliance here at RIC, and I am currently studying psychology. It's a very interesting major. I'm loving it so far. I'm in my last year, hopefully. It's been a while, but we're getting there. And then I'm off to hopefully my master's in counseling or social work. Haven't decided yet.
All right. Thank you both for joining us. A little bit later in the show, we will talk about both of your experiences being in a LGBTQIA plus organization at your college or university. But before we get into that, let's start off as we always do with what have you been reading?
I'm rereading The Book Thief by Marcus Cusack. That was like one of my favorite books ever. It takes place in 1939 Nazi Germany. The main character is Liesl. She, like, the book starts when she's like around 9 and ends when she's around 15. And it's narrated by death itself. And it also like functions as like comedic relief, which I think is funny. And it like just follows Liesl's life. And it's really cool because it's called The Book Thief because she kind of, when she finds a book that's like really catches her eye, she steals it. There's a scene, no spoilers really, but there's a scene where there's like a book burning and she like took a book from there. And she'll like read the books to her neighbors during raids, and you just like fall in love with her. She's such a sweet girl. So yeah, that's what I've been currently been reading. Later on I'm to be read. I have, The Best We Could Do by The Bowie, I want to say. I am really bad at pronouncing names.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. but yeah, it's a graphic novel. It's kind of not a biography. It follows the author's parents' life before and after the Vietnam War, escaping from Vietnam, fleeing to the U.S. as a refugee, all of that. And it's really cool. So I'm like, really excited to read that after.
So I am currently reading I Wish You All the Best by Mason Deaver, who is a non-binary author. And so it's about a non-binary character who actually gets kicked out of their home and ends up living with their sister, who they've been estranged from for a while. And it's just really about their coming out journey, trying to be comfortable in who they are fully publicly. But it takes a while. But in the end, they get there. And it's just a really beautiful read. And it really connected with me because I am non-binary. And so to have that source there for me to see someone understands me and having it literally written on a page, I wish I wrote the quote down. There's one quote where I was just like, oh, wow. Like, that explains everything in one little snippet right there. Like, it's great to have those resources. And Mason, I've read their other books too, and they all usually involve non-binary characters. So I really recommend Mason Deaver. They're amazing.
I'm going to write down that author's name.
Yeah, they're really, I love their books. One of them made me very emotional. I don't remember which one it is now, but I stayed up till 4 a.m. and I was crying. So thank you, Mason.
Those are the best kind of books.
They really are.
So the book I'm currently reading kind of makes me want to cry for a different reason, because it's all about thinking about your future, particularly like your financial future and planning for the future. It's called Money and Love. So it's all about the different stages of life, you know, dating and choosing a partner. Then it moves on to like choosing whether you want to get married or not, and whether that's like a financially good choice for you and your partner, exactly what that arrangement will look like, and then going into like your decision to have kids. And so I bought it for my library just to like beef up our nonfiction collection a little bit. But when it came in, I was like, you know what? I think I'm in a good place in my life right now to take a look at this. I think it is probably a good tool for some people. I think some of it is a little obvious. Like, some of it, it seems like she's just kind of like, think about what you want and then communicate that to your partner. It's like, okay,
got it.
Thank you. but like, she has kind of worksheets at the end of each chapter, and she does kind of outline some of the financial things to think about in each decision. I don't know. A lot. I personally felt like some of them weren't super earth shattering, but maybe if you hadn't put a lot of thought into marriage or kids and know a lot about what might financially go into that, this would definitely be a good book to check out. I was shocked when she, like, in one section spelled out like the cost of having a child. She's like, if you'd like to have a child, think about like saving $500,000. Like, but over the course of that child's life, like, you don't have to have $500,000 up front, but that number is still like wild to think about.
That's a wild number.
It's insane. It's insane. Like, you don't think about it at first, and then you're like, oh, you're expensive.
Expensive.
Like, yeah. And she was even talking about how like half of that number is college. Like, half of that number is education.
Jeez.
For your child.
Yeah.
That number is if your child goes to public school.
Yeah, never mind if you want to go and to not, private school.
Yeah, not even like accounting it in like extracurricular activities or summer camp or like, yeah. So that was a wild number to see, but I had to remind myself that it's like, okay, but that's not all at once.
Yeah.
Like, you do have some time to accrue that capital.
Basically, what I'm hearing is, don't let my child do any extracurriculars, not private school, no college.
Yeah, yeah. Bring that number down a little bit.
Obviously, that's an average and an estimate, and going to college more locally is more affordable than if your child, you know, lives at college. Yeah, no shame.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, you are
I. No, I mean, yeah, yeah. Hence why I ended up at both of those schools.
Yeah.
And she was saying about that there's a type of like tax advantaged account that you could set up for your child that like grandparents and relatives can put in for college, called a 529 plan. So like, there are ways to offset that cost that she talked about. But yeah, just seeing the numbers written down were a little wild.
The spreadsheet.
Definitely overwhelming.
Yeah, that's very overwhelming.
So yeah,
and they say it's worth it, but you know, who knows?
I think that information is good for people to have going into those decisions. So in that case, I think the book is helpful, but I don't know if I necessarily think, she calls it like the 5 C's. I feel like the 5 C's are like a little bit intuitive in general.
Yeah.
That it was like, clarify what you want, communicate. I don't even remember all of them because it basically can be like boiled down, I feel like, into like, think about what you want, like,
talk.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then make sure that you and your partner are on the same page, or, you know, have come to an amicable agreement about what you want.
I can see why that would make you want to cry in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm like, wow.
My like, heart rate is going up a little bit just like, talking about it.
A little panicky, you know.
So besides reading, have either of you been watching anything interesting lately?
Well, I can connect reading and a show. So I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Heartstopper. It's the comic, a graphic novel by Alice Oseman. I think that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And it's about like these two boys who end up falling in love. One of them discovers they're bisexual through this friendship they build in the beginning, Charlie and Nick. And really, it's not even just about them. Like, in the comic, it's very, like, it's from their perspectives. But if you watch the show, you see more of their friends. Like, one of their friends is trans. You see one of their friends who discovers he's asexual. And it has all of this beautiful queer love in it. And it just, it covers, like, everything you can think of when you think of LGBTQIA+. Like, it has representation for everybody. And it's just, it's a very beautiful show. The comic is beautiful. I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorites. The comic, it's on Webtoon and Tapos, I think. But you can also buy the graphic novels, and there's other like little novellas for the characters. And Alice also has other books that they've written one of their books solely based on Radio Silence. You see more asexuality represented in that. And all of these different relationships, and just the majority of the show is, it's, there's a little bit of, like, there's a little bit of harassment, there's a little bit of that, but it's not the main focus. It's mainly focuses on that people who are queer get to experience love and joy. They get to experience everything that straight couples do. And I just highly recommend it. And the show's on Netflix. There's 2 seasons. There's going to be a 3rd soon. And so, yeah.
I love that. I just talked about that actually at one of our last Saga meetings. It was Bisexuality Awareness Day. And so, yay. So we were talking about that. And I talked about that. I think it was the actor that played Nick. Maybe I haven't seen it.
Kit Connor.
Yeah, Kit Connor. And we were talking about that, about how he was like out, like he was like forced to come out by the public because everybody was like kind of like accusing him of like queer baiting, basically. And
yes,
like,
that was a big thing. Yeah, it was devastating. Like, his whole character was about taking his time to be able to come out on his own terms. And then the actor himself was forced out of the closet, and just, that's not okay in any aspect. Just because he is a celebrity in the public eye does not mean we get to force him out of the closet, especially when the show he comes from is about representing everything fully to the heart. You want this safe space, and then doing that to the actor is just...
it's just messed up.
It was a very disappointing moment to be a part of this fan base and to see that have happened to him.
Yeah, and in the tweet that he came out in, he was disappointed. He was like, I think you guys missed the point of the show. It's like so frustrating. Ugh. Yeah, we talked about that at one of our meetings. So I was like, yeah, don't force people to come out. Like,
don't do that.
Everyone has to go at their own pace, and like, it's okay. And also, like, people are not entitled to celebrities' personal lives
or not
like,
at all.
Like, their identities and things. Like, these are all very personal things. And like, I feel like a lot of people forget that celebrities are people as well.
Yeah.
And it's just really messed up. When I saw that, I was really sad about it. Even though I haven't seen the show, it was just like sad to see, because
it's very disappointing. And it's like, yes, we want people who play in queer characters, we would love it to, for them to be queer as well and a part of our community, so we have that representation on screen and off. But that does not mean you get the right to out someone or force someone to come out just because you want to confirm that, oh, he's also bisexual, playing a bisexual character. In the end of the day, the show was about just accepting who you are and taking your time to come out. And if, say, he wasn't queer, he still does a damn good job representing a queer character, and everybody else in the show does the same thing. And so forcing him out, I'm like, that's the exact opposite from what the show is representing. Mm-hmm. So
I also feel like recently there's been like a real misunderstanding in what the word queerbaiting means.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the show is about openly or people who are on their journey to come out. But I mean, like, people who are clearly written as queer characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so that's not queer baiting, because the show has made it queer what the identities of the people on the characters are. Queer baiting is when, like, the creators of the show, because of fear of being like backlash if they were to be outward with the character's identity, continue to like allude to it and make it subtext as opposed to making it
fully out,
like explicit. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think now it's become just like, I don't know.
A buzzword.
Like, it's become this buzzword that people accuse other human beings of queer baiting just because
of
like,
that's not a thing.
And like, yeah,
especially for actors, like, this is their job. Like, they audition, they get a script and they read the script. Like, it's like, this is their job. How are you going to accuse an actor that's supposed to be like playing someone that they are not of queer baiting when it's like, this is not nowhere close to their real life?
Yeah, or just like, just because the queers love Taylor Swift doesn't mean Taylor Swift is queer baiting. Like, that's not how it works.
Not at all.
So that's also, I think, a problem. Like you said, that people feel entitled to know everything about celebrities, kind of with the, you know, like, it's the blurring of lines of relationships and social media.
Are tough.
And, that people feel like they're entitled to. I saw a tweet, I think it was right around, because was Bisexual Awareness Day Saturday?
It was, I want to say Thursday.
Okay.
I think so.
But I saw a tweet that was someone who posted pictures of several different celebrities, and they were like, here are all celebrities that have come out as bi, but have never dated someone of like the same gender or sex. I don't remember exactly how they phrased it. And how I saw it was someone posting, I think, Cardi B's response, where she literally said, sorry, I don't have razor phone pictures of it. Like that it was like, yeah, that it was like a while ago, but like, which was a very funny response from her, but also like the original post, yeah, like makes me really upset as a bi person that it's like, yeah people don't need to justify their identity to you just because, yeah, you don't know every detail about
their life.
Yeah. So just like around Bisexual Awareness Day in the year of our Lord 2023, this should not be happening.
Like, happy Bisexual Awareness Day. Here's some bi erasure for you. Like, yeah. I don't understand what the point of that was.
I don't either.
Yeah.
No.
So that was disappointing. Yeah. Like I said, Cardi B's response was very funny, but that was the thing, is like, that's what she decided to do, even though she also shouldn't feel like she needs to justify that to people.
It's just an unneeded article. Like, they're bisexual. They don't need to, like, you don't need to date someone of the same gender to justify your bisexuality. Like, I'm someone who's bi, and yes, I married a woman, but I'm still bisexual just because I haven't dated a man. That's not, that's just not the thing. My bisexuality isn't canceled out because I married a woman. And a lot of people are just like, well, if you're dating the opposite sex, you're clearly not bi anymore. I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, where are you getting this information?
Yeah.
Like,
I tell people I picked a person, not a side.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like people really want bisexual people to also be polyamorous in order for them to like justify their identity. Like, you have to be dating both at the same time. But then at the same time, like, they impose this like stereotype of bisexual people being super promiscuous and like unfaithful. Yeah. And so it's like, what do you want? What do you want from us? Like,
it's very disappointing.
I'm trying to think of like another good analogy of like something that someone participating in two things at once, but like never doing them at the same time. My first thought was like people who are omnivores, you know what I mean? Like eat everything. I was like, you don't expect them to always be eating meat and vegetables at the same time. But then it's like, that's kind of how meals work. So I ran into a pitfall there.
Yeah, it's a food pyramid.
So that wasn't a good example, but I wish I could think of one.
Like, I don't know. I'm an athlete, maybe like a rugby player who's also a soccer player, but like the seasons don't work out right. So you're like, you have to pick a season for like,
yeah,
but I don't know if that's
you
even a good one.
You have to pick rugby or soccer.
Yeah. Like,
you can't enjoy both at the same time if you're not doing both at the same time.
Literally, that's what they want.
Yeah.
It's beyond frustrating. Beyond frustrating. It's so frustrating. And it's like, the B isn't silent in LGBTQ, but people make it seem like that because they're like, oh, you're dating a woman, you can't be bi. Oh, you're dating a man, you can't be bi. Like, just, like, yes, I am. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm telling you I'm bisexual. Like,
just take my word for it. Like, just...
Yes, I'm sure my wife would appreciate if I just go and date everybody just to prove my bisexuality. Why not? I'll get right on that for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This actually works with, so I just finished the queer edition of The Ultimatum on Netflix.
I watched that recently.
There was like this one couple, I forgot which couple it was, but one of the girls was bisexual and her partner was upset, well, not upset, but like partner like expressed worry that she would like leave her for a man or something like that. And I was like, that's like a little strange. I would be upset if my partner left me for someone else, period. But like the fact that it's like specifically for a man, it's like, okay, weird.
For a man makes it worse.
Yeah, a man makes it worse. Like, okay. Weird. But yeah, I loved it. It was so messy. So much drama. Like, I love the queer representation in trash reality shows. Like, I'm obsessed because I'm obsessed with reality shows, really bad ones, and it's like my red flag. But I love the queer representation in it. I was like, I love the like all the mess that's happening here.
Yes. I'm like, there's finally a little reality show with a bunch of lesbians and bisexual women. Yeah. Like, let's do this. I'm here for the drama. Yeah. I'm craving it. Like, the straights have had their time. It is our time to have messy public relationships.
Yes, period. representation for like the good and the bad. Like, I feel like we need both. But I do want to acknowledge that the producers of The Ultimatum, they did not clarify pronouns during the show at all or before the show at all. So there was misgendering happening and online and everything. It was kind of like people didn't really know how to like gender certain people. And so like, so I do want to acknowledge, like, it wasn't done perfectly. It wasn't like, it didn't check all of the boxes, but I did like really enjoy the show.
So close.
So close.
So close.
So close.
So close. One little thing, and it would have been so much better.
So good.
Like, giving us pronouns isn't gonna kill you.
No,
like,
it's not. Just a little question, it'll be good.
And we'll return to the show after a quick break. Users of Cranston Public Library can now access their favorite digital magazines using Flipster. Flipster offers an easy, browsable reading experience. Users can browse magazines by category as well as perform searches for specific titles. An online newsstand provides a carousel of most recent issues as well as a carousel of all issues, allowing for quick access to magazines. Go to cranstonlibrary.org and click the link Online Resources You Can Use Now to find more information on how you can access Flipster. Flipster also has an app available on Android and iOS. An online archive featuring keyword searchable local historical newspapers, including the Cranston Herald, is now available online to Cranston Public Library cardholders. The archive includes documents from 1885 to 1977. Additional newspaper archives from 1977 to 2016 are available separately from inside the library only. This archive is brought to you by Advantage Preservation and funded by the Champlin Foundation. Visit cranstonlibrary.org/databases to find out more. All right, so I want us to have enough time to talk about both of your works at your respective organizations. So again, just kind of going like in the order that I see people on my screen. Jay, do you want to talk a little bit about URI's SAGA and what you guys do?
Yeah, so SAGA stands for Sexuality and Gender Alliance. Our mission is just to get the community together on campus, especially like, it's really important for me to make sure that freshmen coming in know that it's a safe space for them at the club. URI also has the Gender and Sexuality Center. So it's a whole building just dedicated to having resources and a space for us to have our club at, for like events and stuff for the community on campus. And I'm not sure if we were the first school to have that, but it's one of something like that. Like, we're one of the only ones or the first ones, something like that, to have a center like that dedicated to the community. We will have meetings for tailored meetings. Like I said, with the Bisexual Awareness Day, we kind of tailored our meeting to be talking about bi icons, bi history. We also had discussion of like people, like the bi people that are part of our club sharing their experiences. We're talking about stereotypes, how we can best support bi people. And we have meetings like that throughout the semester, throughout the year of, for coming out day, we're going to be having, we always like the school always has coming out day on the quad. We have this red rainbow door you can take pictures with. So it's like, you're coming out of the closet basically. And it's really cool. At our meetings, we share bi coming out stories. We talk about just our experiences and getting support. It's really cool. And it's really awesome just to like be with like a bunch of people that are like-minded and that you can share your experiences with. And we all get it. And if we don't get it, we're all open to understanding. And we're all feel so safe there. And it's like we're all friends. Like it's awesome. But yeah, it's my favorite thing. At Roadie Fest this year, which is like at the beginning of the year, they get all the organizations out. We all get booths, and the newcomers, freshmen, will just walk around and join things, put the names on email lists and stuff. And multiple parents came up to the Saga booth and was like, "I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy that you are, that there's this community, that there's this club for my child to join, blah, blah, blah." And that was like the best thing ever. Like,
that's a good moment. It's such a good
moment. I was so happy. I was like, you guys have no idea how much that means to me. Cause like, I know the feeling of like either not having access to that club or not having a family that's like supportive of you being part of an organization like that. And so like, it's a different piece to it of like the parents being so happy for their child and so supportive of their child that they will come up to me and say that. It was really cool. So yeah, that's kind of like our Saga mission, just getting the community together, educating and making sure everyone feels heard and accepted on campus. Of course, not every campus is super accepting of everybody. We definitely have had our fair share of issues on campus of like people of just not accepting people, and other, not really the, I wouldn't say like the school as a whole, but you know, other students that have just been not very kind. And so it's just nice to go there to be able to decompress, maybe like talk about it, get it out, and have that support. So that's why I love Saga. It's my favorite thing to do on campus, honestly.
We have very similar things as Saga, you are. But so yeah, the Pride Alliance is basically a safe space for anybody in the community or allies or even just people who need someone to talk to. Like, I try to provide that environment for people to feel comfortable and come talk to us if there are any problems they see on campus, if they have ideas for what we could be doing better as the Pride Alliance. Like, I never want to shut people out for making suggestions. Like, I always say, like, open communication, that's what I strive for. I want people to tell me if, like, they're uncomfortable about something. I want people to tell me if something they see us doing they don't agree with. Like, I will listen. I'm not going to shut them down. Like, I might not agree with them, but I'm not going to shut that down. This is a safe space for people. And I really want to make it that way for everyone on campus, but especially queer people. And we do weekly meetings, and those weekly meetings may have some structure to it. We kind of had, like, a fallback with COVID and everything. And so when I ended up joining Pride Alliance, I didn't do anything before. I've been at RIC for 6 years now. I didn't really, wasn't a part of it or anything, but then COVID happened, back on campus. I'm like, okay, I need to get involved. Like, I'm done just sitting back and doing my studies and leaving campus. Like, that's not cutting it for me anymore. I want the college experience. So I ended up coming on as treasurer last fall. Our president, he ended up leaving. And so I was like, oh, no one else wants to do it. Okay, here comes President Miranda. I just joined, but okay. Mm-hmm. So I became the president last spring, and I found my Madison, our VP. My friend Sky is our treasurer now. We are in the search for our new secretary. We have two candidates, and we're doing an election. And we're really just trying to build it up again and get it to how it was before COVID and everything. We have coming out day happening on the quad. We have the rainbow door, people taking pictures.
So cute.
We're partnering up with our Unity Center here, and they are here for people of all different backgrounds. And so Danny, the assistant director there, is great. We've been working with her a lot. And so we have that coming up. We had Ship come and do a little lecture for World Sexual Health Day. And that was a big turnout, and that was great to see. And it was one of my favorite things that I've experienced here on RIC. It was really interesting.
Sorry, did you say SHIP?
Yeah, SHIP. So, sexual health. Oh, I'm forgetting. They aim to make sure that people understand that sexual health is important, and it's also about pleasure. Like, it's not, you need to have, like, the pleasure is involved in also your sexual health. And really, that meeting was about the differences in, like, different pleasure points of the body and different ways people have sex, and that if you're comfortable with your partner consenting, there's not a wrong way for two people to have sex, multiple people to have sex. And so it's a really great organization. I loved that meeting. I learned things that I never thought of before, and it made me comfortable in things that I enjoy with my partner. And so it's SHIP. It's Rhode Island based. So that would be something that you could look at, Jay, if you wanted to have them come and talk at your campus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we had them come on, and I would love to have them come again. We are going to try to host a Pride prom, so everybody feels welcome. We might do, like, a royal committee or something, like, so people who didn't have the opportunity to get elected as queens or kings or royalty in their high schools, they have that chance now, and we're going to try to make that very equal for everybody to be able to come and do, and we'll figure out a way to make it so it's not just couples can be elected, and it's anybody, any gender, to feel safe and put their little vote in the ring to be elected as our royalty for the prom. And so I want to make sure that everybody feels safe in our space. And that's my biggest goal with doing this club. I will definitely be sad when I have to leave. I've joined this role very scared and overwhelmed, but I feel like I've gotten my footing and I love my e-board. I love being involved in not just my classes, but something on campus where I feel like I'm doing something majorly important. And it is important to have this safe space for people. I haven't dealt with too much backlash on campus, luckily, towards LGBTQ plus people. It's very lucky with that. I know there has been in the past, and that's something I just strive to make sure isn't happening again. I know there's the possibility. Obviously, I cannot stop anybody from hating. Like, it's going to happen, I'm sure, and we're going to be prepared for when it happens, because just it's not okay. This is a safe space, and we're going to keep it that way.
I love that. Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking going into president position. I started my freshman year, I was just like a member of the club, and then I decided to go for secretary sophomore year, and now I'm president, and it's like, I definitely understand that fear, and it's like, because it's also like a big deal. Like, it's like, this is like, we're very passionate about it and part of the community, and we don't want to misrepresent, and we don't want to do anything wrong, in quotes. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's stressful because we're just so passionate about it and we want to do the best we can do, which is honestly, like, if we didn't have that, I'd be worried, you know?
I definitely joined not knowing what I was getting myself into. I mean, I loved our president before, but he was also just about to graduate and he did a great job, but I stepped in out of nowhere. Like, hey, I'm here. What is happening? And then I stepped in as president. I was like, oh, this is my job now. Like, I have to do stuff. I have to be in charge in a way. But I'm very lucky for my e-board. They are there for me. And they are great. And I love the people in our club. And we had a student activities fair. And we had students coming up to sign the email list. And, like, we were just partying all day. We were up on, we were next to our radio booth, so they were blasting music. So, I mean, I was pretty deaf that day. I could not hear. I was shouting at people. The music would go silent for a second. I was still shouting at them. I'm like, I'm so sorry for screaming at you. And the music would start again. I'd be, it was great just having people come over, ask us questions, want to sign up for that email list. Like, that feels good, having people sign up for the email list and having people wanting to join and interested. Like, you're always very worried, like, oh, what if nobody wants to do this? What if people don't come? What if they don't come to the events? Like, it's very, that's why I'm like very, I love the freshmen because they are the ones who really want to get involved in the beginning. Because honestly, like, upperclassmen, like, they're like, well, I'm doing my studies, like, this is what I'm focusing on, which I totally get because some of these majors, chemistry and all that, I'm like, don't even try. I get it. Like, do what you need to do. Like, that's insane. But the freshmen coming up and being all excited, and like, I had the two people that want to be secretary. They're like, we wanted to join. As soon as we got into RIC, we wanted to join this. And I'm like, thank you. Like, we need that. Like, we want people who are excited and fresh and like ready to jump on and do what they want to do and be a part of this in a bigger way than they were in their high schools, or maybe they were a part of it in high school and they were like wanted to continue. And like, I love that passion because we could never have too much passion in this group to make sure that we are protecting people and making it a safe space and making sure people are aware of anything in the LGBTQ plus spectrum. Like, there is so much I don't know still. And so I'm like, please teach me. Like, I don't want to say anything that's going to harm you. Like, I'm not trying to, like, neglect this topic. If you want to talk about this topic, go ahead. Like, I'm not here to be a dictator. Like, I'm not going to, like, if you want to speak in a meeting, like, I'll sit back. You want to tell us about your sexuality or this part of the spectrum that I didn't know about? I'm all ears because I want to learn with you. Like, and I think that's really important to want to continue to learn because there are so many new things and so many things I haven't heard before. And I'm sure it's the same for you, Jay, where it's like, oh, that's something on the spectrum. Okay, tell me more. Like, I don't want to neglect this topic. Mm-hmm. Please tell me.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. It's really cool. Like, to, like, I feel like if you are on an e-board for an organization, people might think that, like, oh, you know everything. Like, you're very knowledgeable. You're, like, super knowledgeable. Which, I mean, of course, my major is gender and women's studies. So, I probably know more than the average person. But it's, you still learn so much from these people that come mm-hmm. in. And it's awesome. Like, I totally get what you mean by, like, the freshmen coming in. And they're, like, all doe-eyed and excited. And, you know, the upper class are a bit more jaded. But, like, we still welcome them, love them. I'm right there with them. So I get it. But, yeah, it's awesome. I love getting, like, seeing all the freshmen come in and being all excited, especially, like, the freshmen that came from schools or towns that weren't super, like, accepting. And they just are just so excited and, like, grateful and happy. And just it's awesome to see. I love it. It makes me, like, feel like the club will be okay once I leave. Like, it's, like, I, like, there's, like, a ton of, like, really awesome people that are in there, and it's, like, the next election is gonna, like, I'm not worried.
Yeah, striving for that, wanting to leave behind a good structured system and keeping it in good hands and, like, trusting that, okay, it's not gonna be the downfall once I leave. Like, I'm not saying everything's on my shoulders and I'm making this club the most amazing thing ever. Like, I could do things better. I'm not gonna say it's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's why all these new people give me your ideas. Like, no idea is a bad idea. Unless I say so. Which is a complete joke. I say that to people and they look at me like, I'm like, I'm joking. Please understand. That's my sense of humor. Please. That's my sense of humor. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
So before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask you both, what is your advice for people who are going into college soon or just entered college who are queer and who are looking to find their community?
Just get involved. It's very stressful. It's scary. And especially when you're coming in, you don't know anyone else there. It's stressful. It's scary. And I totally get that. But I found the best community by stepping outside of that comfort zone. Joining Saga was incredible. I would not change a thing. It's awesome. The people that I've met from that. And even when I joined the rugby team, which, word of advice, if you like sports or even if you don't like sports, find a gay sport that and then join that. Because rugby, let me tell you, like, it's awesome. It's such an awesome community. Like, I'm they're also really, like, it's a women's rugby team because, you know, sports are very binary. But we're, like, everyone is so awesome with pronouns and our coach is awesome with pronouns. And, like, we're all so accepting. And it's so, like, stepping outside of that comfort zone of, like, I'm like, oh no, I'm too scared to join a sport. And, like, I just did it. And it, like, was really, and it, like, has paid off in so many ways. And then with Saga, it's like, now I'm president of the organization and it is, like, my passion project for this year. And it's my favorite thing that I'm doing right now. And so I honestly think, like, definitely just getting involved and putting yourself out there. I also, at least if anyone listens goes to URI, if you're looking for a queer community, the 193 Coffee House in the Memorial Union is, like, the queer hub on campus. You walk in and there's people crocheting. There's, like, little small businesses up in the corners of, like, you can, like, buy people's, like milk tab earrings and, like, little, like, stuffies that they made. And it's awesome. And everyone has colorful hair and is wearing cool stuff. And it's truly the queer hub on campus. And it's awesome. It's, like, it's also, like, volunteer run, student run. It's, like, $1 coffees. They always play good music. And it's like, there's so much, like, little niche stuff that you just have to get out there and find. And I know it's very stressful and very, like, anxiety inducing to do that, especially coming into a new school, but it's worth it in every way.
Yeah. I definitely getting involved and I mean, also, if freshman year isn't your time to get involved, like, take your time if you want to focus on your studies the first year and just want to get into that flow. Take your time. Join next year. Join what I did. Join your fifth year at your college.
Never too late.
And then all of a sudden you're president. Like, obviously that's how it's going to work for you. But definitely getting involved and finding that safe space. And like I said, if you want to focus on your studies first, do that. I mean, that's what I did. But once I found my community, once I found my people, the people I'm friends with now, like, I was like, oh, this is the college experience I was looking for. Don't shy away from it. Don't come to school and just leave like I did. Like, that was not it for me. Like, I realized, like, oh, this is what I was missing. I was missing trying to find people. And also, the friends you make your freshman year might not be the friends you have your sophomore year or your junior year. They might not be friends forever, but find those people, talk to them, hang out with them, find a little safe space. And if that friendship ends, there's no harm in that.
That's okay.
Like, you had that relationship, you had that support for your first year or your second year. It's okay for it not to be forever. Because college friends, honestly, you probably won't see some of these people ever again. You might follow them on Instagram, Facebook. I don't know what the younger generation is on anymore. I feel old with so many of these new apps. I'm 23 and I'm acting like an old lady. I know. But
stop.
You're outing yourself.
I am. I'm outing myself. I'm an old person. But, like, you're not going to be friends with these people forever. And hopefully you do find maybe that those few people. You don't have to be in a huge friendship group. Like, yes, you might see that on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, like these huge friendship groups of like, and if you're living in the dorms, like that's not for everybody. That's not, might not be for you. Don't feel pressured to find a huge group. Find those few people you feel safe with for as long as you can be safe with them. Like, make sure you are putting yourself first in these friendships too. Sometimes, like, if they're not there for you, like, you need to be like, okay, I'm taking a step back, and then finding someone new. Because college, there are so many different people on campus. There is a wide variety of people of all different backgrounds, especially LGBTQ2+ people. Like, you have that community here. It might be small. It might be hidden. People might not feel safe yet, but they are there. I promise you, they are there. And it's just, it's really important you find people you feel safe with. And that's definitely something I wish I heard my freshman year and didn't just walk off campus after my class was done, but stayed and made connections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, Miranda, because as someone who also went to RIC, which is a notorious commuter school in the state, and yes, it has a very big reputation for commuters just coming, taking classes, eating lunch in their car and leaving. I know, yep. I made an effort to not do that, and I appreciate, like, in hindsight that I did that, even though maybe sometimes it was scary and uncomfortable and led to me sitting in Donovan by myself.
Yeah, it can be very scary.
But yeah, ultimately, I wasn't involved in, which Pride Alliance at RIC has had many different names. I think it was, yes, Hope when I was there, but it also had another name that I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was Hope, and I think it was also Pride and Gender or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's Pride now. We got everybody.
We got it. We figured it out.
I love that.
But yeah, I think that's especially important since if you are going to commute to a school and not live on campus, I think it's very easy to find your community if you're living on campus because you're kind of like, all in this adulting experience together, versus when you're a commuter. Yeah, you really do like have to make an effort. So it's important to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Lean into the discomfort. Is.
Yeah.
Yes. And you might have anxiety over it, but in the end, it's you'll find your people, you'll find your safe space, you'll feel good once that happens. Just, you got to push past that anxiety a little bit first. As nerve-wracking as it is, you'll get there.
It's a journey. Like, it's not going to be something that, like, works out on the first try, probably, most likely. And it's okay. Like, if there's bumps in the road, that's okay. It's all a journey, and mm-hmm. it's going to be worth it. If for nothing yeah. else, at least it'll be a good story, you know?
Yes.
Do it for the plot.
Definitely.
That's my advice. Do it for the plot.
Yes. Do it for the plot. I totally agree.
All right. So, we wrap up the show with a segment I call The Last Chapter, where we talk about a library or bookish related question, even though this one is not terribly library or bookish related question, but it's food related, and I can never pass up a good food related question, which is, if you could be any flavor of ice cream, what type would you want to be and why?
I think I got to go with Twist, the chocolate vanilla Twist. Best of both worlds, two good flavors. That is me. I am best
not
of both
choosing,
worlds, people.
Not a choosing. Choice. Yeah.
That is my life. I don't like choices.
I think I'm going to go with my favorite flavor, which is strawberry. I love but specifically the strawberry ice cream that has like the little chunks of frozen strawberries in it. It also seems like a very queer ice cream flavor. So
often kind of not a lot of people's go-to, mm-hmm. I think. Often somewhat kind of sidelined ice cream flavor.
Marginalized ice cream flavor.
Yeah, there's part of me that also kind of just wants to say that my favorite flavor, but I don't know if that necessarily is like
representative of you.
Yeah, like I don't have much rationale besides that it's my favorite, which is chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
Ooh, that's a solid pick.
Yeah, so it's it's still got like chocolate and cookie dough going on, but it's still vanilla based because I do like a good vanilla, especially like a vanilla soft serve. Yes, I'm that basic and we'll go for vanilla soft serve. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd have to think more I don't know, like what different ice cream attributes equate to different personality traits.
Yeah.
I feel like even though I don't like this as much because I like the simplicity of just like a vanilla base with cookie dough chunks, I feel like I would probably be like a half baked where it's like there's cookie dough and there's brownie and there's a swirl and there's like a lot going on.
Yeah.
I think genuinely that's probably what I would be.
Just a
lot going on.
I love that.
Because of the ADHD, because of something else. I don't know.
I just can't make choices.
Yeah. Just put them all together. It's fine.
But in actuality, for me and my palate, that's too many things. I don't like that many things. But I feel like me on the inside is too many things. All right. Now that I just exposed myself via ice cream. Where can people find out more about your organizations if they are going to either of your schools or if they are planning on going to either of your schools?
We are on Instagram at uri.saga. We also have our email, which is gsa@rhodysenate.org. So you can also email us whenever. If you currently come to URI, we have our meetings at the Gender and Sexuality Center on Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. It's at the top of campus. And we would love to hear any correspondence from y'all.
Yeah, and at RIC, we have our Instagram, which is RIC Pride, R-I-C Pride. And then we also have our email, which is pride@so.ric.edu. And we have our meetings on Tuesday, so I have one today. From 12:30 to 1:30 in Gage 306. And I have the schedule up on the Instagram. I email once a week before our meetings, which that reminds me, I have to do that today. And we also have an office in the Student Union building. It's 428, right above the Student Union Ballroom. And it's usually, we have our office hours Mondays and Wednesdays. I think it's 11:30 to 1:30. It's by appointment only because I am off campus. So if I don't have to be here in that time frame, I probably won't be here before my class. But if needed, I am here to talk to people. And we can also have our other e-board members come and talk to you if that's who you feel more comfortable with, if it's Madison or Sky or the new secretary we find. So yeah, you are welcome. We want new people. We want fresh faces all the time. And I hope that if you are at RIC, you coming to find us.
Fantastic. Thank you both for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening. If you would like to answer our last chapter question or just reach out to the show, you can email us at downtime@cranstonlibrary.org, or you can reach out via social media with the hashtag DowntimeCPL. If you're feeling generous, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, because it helps people find the show. Thank you again for listening, and this has been another episode of Downtime. Downtime is a project of the Cranston Public Library and is produced by Elena Rios, Robin Nizio, and me, Taylor Cardillo. Audio engineering by Dave Bartos. Our theme music is Day Trips by Ketza, and our ad music is Happy Ukulele by Scott Holmes. Links to the books and movies discussed can be found in the show notes. Remember to rate and review Downtime on Apple Podcasts, connect with the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram with the hashtag DowntimeCPL, and if there's something you'd like to hear on the show, send an email to downtime@cranstonlibrary.org. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the speaker's own and do not represent those of the Cranston Public Library. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The Cranston Public Library name, in all forms and abbreviation, are the property of its owners, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. The content of this episode is the property of the Cranston Public Library and may not be reproduced without express written permission. Join us next week for more Downtime.
My favorite flavor, which is ice cream. Yep.
It is ice cream.
My favorite flavor, which is...